Good morning. So, for those of you who do not know me, my name is Sergio, and I'm going to be sharing the message with you today. Recently, Pastor Perry has been talking about, been teaching about the book of Matthew, and for today, he asked me to say a word taking the basic scripture from the book of Matthew. So, if you were here previous Sundays, you might have been following the messages in that line. So today I'm also going to continue, and I've prepared several scriptures, and I'm hoping that by the grace of God we'll study them together and get some revelation from them and see how we can live by the teachings in those scriptures. I have several scriptures here, but I'm hoping to be very brief in my presentation today, the message I'm going to be giving. And the basic text which comes from the book of Revelation, chapter number 1, the first part of it, verse 7. It says there, "Behold, is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him." Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Let us pray. Lord, you're holy. Your word is good. And as we study the word, we're hoping to be transformed into your image, and also to be sanctified by the word of God, which is able to show us the way to follow in life. Today, Lord, as I speak the words to the whole church, may you, Lord, take precedence in what's going to be said here. Lord, may you take charge of the message. And may you communicate what you wish to communicate to us. And with our hearts opened and our minds ready, receive the word, speak it with power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so if you read in your Bible, throughout all the Bible, actually, not only the book of Matthew or in the book of Revelation that I showed you a moment ago, you see expressions like the day or the day of judgment. Sometimes he uses the phrase the day of the Lord or the last day, end of ages, and the end times. If you study these words and these phrases carefully, they all make allusion to the return of Christ. And they show us how the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. This time, not like a baby born in a manger, but he'll come with power to establish his kingdom. And there'll be a judgment of the human race. We will all give account of the kinds of lives that we lived. You might call it a moral account. So we will have to answer for the styles of life, for the kind of lives, the way we conducted our lives before the Lord. In the book of Matthew, there are several passages. But Stephen today, he mentioned that in the book of Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus there tells us the signs of the end times. Actually, when we think about the book of Matthew and the end times, the passage that comes to our minds usually is chapter 24. But then, so I was reading through the book, I found that the day of judgment was one of the pillars of Jesus' teachings in the book of Matthew. He mentioned judgment in one way or another almost throughout the whole book of Matthew. And in the book of Matthew, chapter number 10, verse 14 to 15, we are told that Jesus sends out his disciples to preach the word and to announce the message. And he gives them power to heal sicknesses, to drive out demons. And as he commands them, the Lord Jesus says this about this trip that the disciples are going to engage in. Speaking about the cities that would reject the message, he says, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for the towns which have rejected the gospel. In the book of Matthew chapter number 11, reading from verse 21, I actually can go through verse 24, it divides there, it talks about places that have seen the manifestation of power where Jesus did his miracles, but the people of those places did not accept him as Lord. And the Lord Jesus says of these towns, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for Chorazim and Bethsaida. So these are pagan towns that if you read in the Old Testament, they were raided and destroyed because of their paganism. But the Lord Jesus says it will be better for them in the day of judgment. He says Capernaum will be brought down to Hades. And he says it will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for Capernaum. For Sodom will have believed Jesus' mighty works, if they had witnessed them. Book of Matthew chapter number 12 and chapter number 16. The scribes and the Pharisees asked the Lord Jesus for a sign. And he said, you will not give them any sign except for the sign of Jonah. And then he talks about how the men of Nineveh have repented at the message of Jonah. And he said, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment day with this generation and condemn it. He also makes mention of the queen of the south. It says she will also rise up in the day of judgment with this generation condemned, because she came from so far off to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And yet, the Lord Jesus, he was greater than Solomon. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 13, he talks about the parable of weeds and going down from the 30th verse. You read there, the culmination of that passage, that parable, Jesus says, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into the barn. If you read the parable goes this way, it talks about the man who sowed a good seed, but an enemy had come to plant alongside this seed weeds. So the servants came to him and said, should they deal with the weeds first? But the Lord Jesus said, no, you should let them, the weeds and the good seed, grow together. And they would deal with the weeds at the time when of the harvest. And Jesus later on explains the meaning of this parable. And if you read in the book of Matthew, chapter number 13, from the 36th verse, he says, I'm reading from the 36th verse. Say, then he left the crowd and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the word, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds were gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angel, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. In chapter number 18, verse 8 and 9, Jesus makes mention again of eternal fire. And he speaks about how it would be better for someone to get into life crippled than to burn eternally with his complete body whole. In the book of Matthew chapter 23, Jesus here rebukes the Pharisees and calls them hypocrites. And in verse 33, he says, "You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell?" So, in the book of Matthew, he was saying, there are all these passages, and if you would read by yourself carefully, as I made mention here in the parable of the weeds, he connects hell to eternal destruction, to fire, to suffering, to weeping, and to gnashing of teeth. So it will be a very terrible experience. It's a very scary experience. And most of the time, when you talk about this, we Christians sometimes we like to avoid this kind of topic. Or when we talk about it, we are scared and afraid. Most of the time because some of us are not so sure. Am I going to make it? Am I going to escape the condemnation? Am I going to escape eternal fire? So we do not like to talk about this so much. We do not like to hear about it so much. But as you can see here, this was one of the main aspects of the message of the Lord Jesus when he was on earth. So I think that we also should endeavor to study these things and understand these things. But I want to tell you something. If you are among those who are afraid of this day, you should not be afraid of this day. Rather, you should look at it with great anticipation. Because in the same way that you'll be suffering in this day, he talks about great hope for this day. There will not be tears anymore. There will not be diseases anymore. There will not be suffering anymore. There will not be starvation anymore. It will bring about a new age. And as far as we Christians are concerned, I mean those who have received the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives and live according to His law, His commandments, or which is the Word of God, there is no need to be afraid. In the book of Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Even though there will be a day of judgment, even though all of us here in this building, we will stand up to give, as I said, a moral account of the kind of life that we have lived. But we can rest in this assurance that there will not be condemnation for those of them who are in Christ. As long as you are in Christ, you do not need to be afraid of this day. Rather, you should look at it with great anticipation. In the book of John, chapter number 3, verse 16 through 17, the Bible tells us, "God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever," He says in verse 18, "whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because of not believed in the name of the Son of God, in the name of God's one and only Son." So as long as you believe in His name, as long as you live your life, if you read the book of Romans, according to His Spirit, there's no need to be afraid. But there are some groups of people who should indeed be afraid. And I want to talk about four of these kind of people that should be afraid of this day. And the first group I've labeled them, those who have been given the chance to receive the gift of life but rejected it. Some people have been given a chance to receive Jesus, to receive the gift of life, but they simply rejected it. They don't like the idea of a God. They don't like the idea of serving a God. They don't like the idea of submitting to a higher authority. They are the gods of themselves. They don't want to live the life as they wish. And now if you read again, I read Matthew chapter 10, but now in the context, it says, if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. So you see, the Lord Jesus here said that it will be terrible for those who have had the chance to receive the gift of life or the word of Jesus or the gospel and have rejected it. And we all know the story of what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, how God sent down fire to destroy these towns. So those of them who have given a chance and have rejected, the Bible tells us that it will be a terrible day for them. So this is the first group of people. Brothers and sisters, God gives you an opportunity to share the word of God with people. And it may be your friends or co-workers or classmates. You tell them about God. You tell them about the word of God. But they wouldn't listen. They cannot accept the idea they were saying. And there are some people, some group of people, they call themselves atheists. Most of them, they know, they studied about God, but they choose deliberately to reject His word. So this group of people, this is going to be a day of terror for them. The second group of people I want to talk about is those who do not know God. And by saying those who do not know God, I mean those who do not have a relationship with God. Several Sundays ago, I was sharing here, and we read in the book of Judges, as I talk about the life of Samson, and the Bible tells us there that a group of people rose that did not know God. And as we are talking about that word, it says, the word "know" there does not mean that they didn't hear about Him. It's like they didn't have a relationship with Him. So those of them who do not have a relationship with God, who do not know Him in a relationship way, these kind of people, they should be afraid of the day of judgment. And in the book of Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 8 to 9, the second book, the Bible says there, if you read, it says, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. I have underlined this expression, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Billy Graham explaining this passage, he said this passage means, the part in red, he said it means that all of mankind, everyone, will have an opportunity to see Jesus in the day when He comes. But some will see Him and will have a glimpse of the joy that is to fellowship with Jesus. And right away they will be banished and they will be separated eternally from God. Can you imagine how terrible that is? It's like nowadays if you heard that Jesus is somewhere, but Jesus doesn't want to have a relationship with you. If I heard that Jesus is somewhere in this world today, I'd be eager to go and see Him and fellowship with Him. And if He banished me from His presence, it would be a terrible thing for me as a Christian. And I think for you also, if in that day you would have this glimpse, and after having learned so much about Him, after having been in a church, and then for that day to be put away from the presence of the Lord forever, I think this is a very terrible thing to experience. Many scholars of the Bible explain hell and destruction and related ideas with the idea of being far away from the presence of the Lord, from being far away from Jesus, being far away from His kingdom. You know, the Bible tells us about the Lazarus and the rich man. It said between them there was a gap. There was a huge gap that could not be broken, that could not be linked. And the rich man was far away from the bosom of Abraham. Brothers and sisters, I wouldn't wish any of us to miss the opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord and being cast far away from Him. The third group of people we should be afraid of this day are those that, knowing God, refuse to submit to His word. And this has a lot to do with us sitting here in church. It has to do with me, you know. Some of times when someone has a gift, we think they are the perfect people. No, this group of people, I also get to learn from them. And you sitting there also get to learn from them. If you know the word of God and refuse to submit to, if you know God and refuse to submit to His authority, refuse to submit to His power, there is a danger in front of you. The Bible says there is a way that seems good to a man, but it ends in destruction. You should submit yourself to the word of God. You should live according to God's standards. You should live according to the word of God. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 7, verse 21 to 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" If you read in the New International Version, it says, "You breakers of the law," those who break the law of the Lord. We have to watch as we are in the house of the Lord. Which group of people are in? Nowadays, you see, so many people are doing so wonderful works, mighty works, but are they living according to the word of God? If not, no matter how many miracles they have done, no matter how many sermons they have preached, no matter how many works of charity they have done, as long as they do not submit to the word of God, they should be afraid of this day. They will be in trouble in this day. The fourth and the last group I would like to talk about is the group of those, I call them those who delight in sin, those who are happy sinning, those who can do sin, they commit sin, and don't care about it. And Paul speaks about this group in the book of Hebrews. He says, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of judgment." You see, should be afraid of judgment. "And a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace?" In this passage, the Bible tells us that those who go on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the word of God, all they can expect is judgment and fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. They place themselves in the side of the enemies of God. And these are the ones who are going to be judged. These are the ones who are going to be burnt, will be consumed with fire. Position yourself in the side of those who follow God. Do not position yourself in the side of the adversaries. Those will be consumed. Position yourself in the side of those who listen to do the word of God. Today we're singing a song here during the praise and worship, and one song I like, it says, "We have to do, we have to move. We have to do the word of God, not just being mere listeners." James also said the same thing. So we are not supposed to be hearers only, but we are supposed to be doers of the word of God. So for these four group of people, I believe that there will be great horror in the day of judgment. But what will be the signs? I would like to talk about the signs. How will we know that Jesus is coming, is drawing near? The book of Matthew, chapter 24, he gives us some hints there how we're supposed to know. The Bible says in Matthew, chapter 24, verse 6, that there will be wars and rumors of wars. But the servant today gave us some numbers about wars. And within the past century, we have witnessed two big wars. And one of these days, recently, I was checking the numbers of people who died during the Second World War. Millions upon millions of people died in the Second World War. Throughout the whole world, all continents. So we're living in a time, in times of wars. Not only the First and the Second War, we know about recent conflicts in Syria. The conflict between Israel and Palestine. The region of the Horn of Africa. I mean the countries Ethiopia, Somalia, those countries, Sudan. Countries that have experienced never-ending wars in the last decades. Everywhere, and know also the recent conflicts between Russia and Ukraine. But you might argue, if you have looked carefully in the graph that Brother Stephen showed us, you might say this is not a new phenomenon. People have been dying from wars from the beginning. This shows us the significance of the Word of God, the significance that every generation ought to wait for the coming of Jesus. But one thing we can say with assurance, if those people in those times that experienced wars were expecting the coming of the Lord, we are nearer, at least we can say that, we can know with certainty that we are nearer than them. The Lord Jesus, of course, he warned us against speculating the exact day or exact year or exact month. But he told us this sign that we can know as we move through the time, we are drawing near to that day. And many people, for these numbers, of course, have wars and also have violence in the world. We have violence. We have seen extremists and terrorist groups rising like never before. You know, the Al-Qaeda, the Boko Haram, so many terrorist groups. The world is a violent place and is becoming more violent as we move on. So, we can know from this that we are drawing near to the end times. Jesus also said that there would be famines and earthquakes in various places. He's talking about natural disasters. For many years, I never knew that, I never heard of any earthquake in Africa. But last year, we witnessed an earthquake in Morocco, if you remember. Many people died, people were displaced. And you know, many devastating hurricanes and wildfires and earthquakes everywhere. This also is a sign that we're drawing closer to the day. And then it says also that there will be persecution to the believers, to those who believe in God. They'll be persecuted. And we know, some studies show that the last 100 years, there were more martyrs than the last 1800 years. People are being killed. People are being persecuted just for believing in Christ. Some Middle Eastern countries, some countries in Africa, some countries in Asia. People are just being persecuted because they believe in God. And the Bible tells us also that the love of many will grow cold. In the book of Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 3, the Bible says, "But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of this, of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Today, people everywhere, they know, they heard about God, they heard about Jesus, and many of them, they claim to be, many of them claim to be Christians. But if you look at their way of life, this passage seems to describe what we are living today in the world. I was reading this post recently. A young boy asks his grandparents, he says, Grandpa, how were you guys able to live in the 50s, 60s without internet, without iPhones, without all these gadgets that we're used to having today? He said, the same way you guys are living now. Your life is centered, we didn't have those things, but you on the opposite end, your life just focuses on these things. You don't have friends. You don't build relationship with your families. You don't trust each other. Don't love each other. You are living without all these things that we used to have in the past. And if you look today, and say you don't respect parents. Parents nowadays have to listen to the children, not the children listen to the parents. It's the opposite now. I think this passage describes very well the time that we're living in now. People now, they have figured it out. They know everything. They don't need God. They have the answers for everything. They have the solutions for everything. They do not need Jesus anymore. In chapter 24, verse 14, Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world. The same time that persecution is growing, the word of God is being taken forward. People are preaching. People are hearing about Jesus. We have many, many translations of the Bible today. Every corner of the world, people are hearing about Jesus. And Jesus also warns about false Christs and false prophets. Just turn on to your YouTube nowadays and open YouTube and just find the prophets. And you'll find, you see all sorts of prophets. People are doing all sorts of works. But most of them do not live according to the will of God. Do not fear. But if you see what they say or what they do is not in accordance with what the Bible teaches us. So as we expect the Lord, as we are looking forward to His coming, and we see the signs suggest that we are drawing closer to that day, how are we supposed to conduct our lives? How are we supposed to conduct our lives? In the book of Peter, the second book, chapter number 3, verse 11 to 13, the Bible tells us, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, the earth as we know it is going to be dissolved, it's going to disappear, and we're expecting a new earth. What sort of people ought you to be in life and holiness of God and godliness? I have underlined this expression here. This expression, if you read in the New International Version Bible, he puts it as a question. He says, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people we ought you to be in life? And then he puts an interrogation there. He puts a question mark. And he says we have to live lives of holiness and godliness. In this version, it's an exclamation there. But it has a comma. It should go this way. What sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Because we are waiting the earth to be dissolved. We are waiting the second coming of the Lord Jesus. We ought to live lives of holiness and godliness. And he goes on to say, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness will dwell. As you are waiting for His coming, brothers and sisters, we ought to live lives of holiness and godliness. In the book of Matthew, the Lord Jesus speaks here, verse 13 to 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Look for the narrow gate. Do not follow the masses. Do not do what everyone else is doing. Find the narrow gate. Find the way of the cross and live accordingly." Can you say amen? As I conclude, we can say with assurance that there will be a day of judgment. The Bible tells us that there will be a day of judgment. When will that day be? We do not know. Jesus warned against the speculation of this day. We do not know when it's going to be. So only the Father knows when it's going to be. But He told us it will come like a thief. It's like the day we are going to die. We do not know when we are going to die. It's a surprise. And because we know that the day will come like a thief, we ought all the more to live holy lives. Because we do not postpone it. We say, I'll submit after I finish my school. I'll live a godly life after I get a good job. Do not do that. We do not know when it's going to be. But above all these things, we know there is assurance to those who love God. Those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Rest in this assurance and live godly lives. Amen. I want us to take some time to pray. And I want you to use this time to think about the life you're living, to introspect. And I want to encourage you today, if you feel guilty about something, if you feel condemned, if you feel afraid of this day of judgment, if you're not ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you, find someone in the church here, in the leadership, and talk to us. You can talk to me at the end. You can ask me if you have any questions. If there's a question that I can give you an answer, I'll give you an answer. If I cannot give you an answer, I'll call Pastor Perry. So, you can also talk to Pastor Perry and the leaders here in the church. And open your heart, talk about the fears and the struggles. We are here to help you. We are here to help you. So think about it as you are praying. Prepare your heart for the day of judgment, for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you could have the background music as we pray, just shortly, for maybe 5 minutes. I'm not so sure if I could have that. But meanwhile, let us take some time and pray.